searches for prompt engineers on LinkedIn and Upwork have skyrocketed. They are actually looking for people with this experience. And so if you're able to say, yep, I've got a certification in this, that gives you a leg up when you're talking to them about potential projects and even jobs. Welcome to the AI for Creative Entrepreneurs podcast, where we guide you through the weird and wonderful landscape of artificial intelligence. I'm Rob Mersch.
And I'm Kira Hugg. We are the founders of the Copywriter Club, and our goal is to help you stay ahead of the curve. We'll show you how to use new AI tools to maximize creativity, hopefully simplify your work and life, and maybe even reinvent your career so this whole AI thing works for you and not against you.
So whether you are a copywriter, a marketer, a creative professional, or something else, join us as we explore the intersection of AI, creativity, and career.
Today, it's just the two of us. We get more time together, and we are tackling questions that we've received from different copywriters, content writers. We're going to talk through some struggles that we've heard in the community and maybe, you know, a win or two. And we're also going to talk about just a few updates, what's happening in this space and what's happening with TCC in this space. So we have a lot to cover. Rob, let's jump in. Are you ready?
Let's do it. We're going to talk through a bunch of questions, a lot of the questions that don't even have answers necessarily. So this should be interesting to see how we navigate all of your good questions.
Yes. And so this first section, I actually captured a bunch of struggles, mostly struggles from our TCC Facebook group, where a lot of copywriters are talking about how they've lost clients or how, you know, they've been freelancing since 2014 and they're pursuing different careers right now. So there's definitely a lot of chatter, a lot of struggle in the community. It's not all struggle. We also hear about a lot of wins, people who are pivoting, people who are really honing in on their specialties and being really strategic about how they're positioning themselves. So I'm just curious, Rob, from your perspective, like, do you feel like this is as bad as some of us thought it could be? Do you feel like not so bad now that we're kind of settling into the news, into this big change in our space? How are you feeling about
it? I think that AI has actually gotten a lot of the blame for what's going on. And a lot of it's not AI related at all. It's economic. You know, there have been a lot of layoffs in the tech world, especially. But, you know, when you see news like that, when you hear about, you know, inflation's been, you know, it's never been higher for 2 years, you know, food prices, inflation may be coming down, but food prices, everything is still expensive, right? Like, it's not like prices have come down. It's just the rate of inflation has gone down. And so a lot of businesses have pulled back on investing. And so and to couple that with AI, I think a lot of people are like, oh, wow, AI came along and just and blew everything up. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think the economics of what's going on all around the world were blowing things up before AI got here. And maybe there's a little bit of a ripple that's AI related. So yeah, there's weird stuff happening right now. There are definitely copywriters out there who are struggling. But on the other hand, not all copywriters are struggling. You and I heard from a copywriter in one of our programs today who just had her first $20,000 month, and she literally started her business 6 months ago. So, you know, there are plenty of people who are surviving, who are doing all of the right things in their business. They're showing up where they're clients are, they're offering products that clients need to buy, they're solving problems that the clients have, they're charging for the value they create. All of that stuff is still happening, but the economy is a little weird. And so some people have been struggling, and I'm not saying, oh, you have a terrible business if you're struggling. That may not be the case, although it may be the case that there are some things to fix in your own business. And I don't think AI is to blame for all of it. In fact, AI may be to blame for maybe less than 10% of it right now.
All right. So it sounds like AI is getting a bad rap, which maybe is why we started this podcast, so we can shine a light on it and have a fair conversation about it and what's happening in this space. And we will share some, maybe just like ideas, what we're seeing that is working right now for copywriters, our own tips based off kind of where we are in this process. It's probably worth noting that one copywriter you mentioned who just had her first 20K month works in the nonprofit space, which is also quite amazing to hear that, right? A copywriter in the nonprofit space just had a 20K month. So that's definitely a win. And some industries are still working well for copywriters. And so we can talk about that today. But first, I'd love to hear a little bit about what is happening with our new course. Rob, can you share a little bit about like what's happening in there?
Yeah, well, I mean, we call it new. It's new for us, I guess, but it's been around for a couple of months now. We've got well over 200 people who have gone through the course and watched videos and taken advantage of, the prompt book and the tools list that we've got. Just in the last week or so, as we're recording this, we recorded a new comparison video where we compared ChatGPT with Google Bard and also a tool called Hugging Chat from Hugging Face AI, which is maybe a little different, just to see the kinds of different responses you get from the same exact prompts. Each AI tool is a little different in the temperature settings and in the parameters that they use. And so we put that together so you can see, asking, we actually gave two different prompts and you can see the level of writing, fifth grade versus, ChatGPT tends to be a little bit higher level versus Bard or Hugging Face, which were a little easier to read, a little bit more approachable. And we're also about to add a certification. So you can go through the course, watch the videos, go through the prompts, learn the stuff that we're teaching in there, and actually add a certification to your skill set. You have a badge you can put on LinkedIn or on your website or whatever else. But that is coming very soon. In fact, it's probably going to be live by the time people are watching this video. We'll see. We are adding some additional videos on image generation and how to use AI for that. So that's probably not going to be done this week, but it's coming very soon. And new training on how to use AI when you're pitching for clients. And for a lot of copywriters, content writers who are struggling with what's going on and thinking, oh, I need to start pitching, hopefully that will be useful as a tool as well. We'll include that in the AI course. We'll also include that in our course all about pitching clients. We've updated the prompt book and the toolkit with the latest tools. I think there's now 101 tools in the toolkit. I added some additional prompts to the prompt book. So all of that stuff is there. And we are committed, at least for the short term, to keep this as up to date as possible so you know exactly what's going on in the world of AI.
Did you say that tool was called Huggy Face?
Hugging Face. Okay. Hugging Face AI has a chat tool. It's actually kind of cool. It's free and you use it just like ChatGPT or Bard. I mean, there's so many chat tools out there now. ChatGPT is now integrated in Edge, which is Microsoft's browser. So many different ways to approach this now. And yeah, amazing things happening.
Yeah. And you mentioned the certification. So you can access the certification when you enroll in the course, right? That's part of what you're enrolling in.
Yes. Everybody who's purchased the course up to now will get that option for free. It's included. But moving forward, we actually may make that an add-on where if people want to certify, they'll pay a little bit more. So that's actually a pretty good reason to jump in today if you're listening before that change happens. But yeah, it'll be available to everybody in the course.
Yeah. And I think it's important to mention it's the certification certifies you as a prompt engineer. And as of now, I don't know of any certifications, any other ones that are certifying for prompt engineers. Do you, Rob? Are there a lot of other options out there?
I haven't seen a certification yet. This, and as we talk about it, the test that we've put together is not easy. It's not it's not onerous. It's not going to take you 2 hours to do this, but you are going to have to know how to use a large language model in order to generate a response and the things that you need to include in order to get the best results. And we will ask people to, show us how they write prompts and make sure that it matches up to what we teach in the course. But yeah, this, in my knowledge, is the first certification like this.
Yeah, and universities are not offering this yet. So there is not a lot of options out there, but there is a need. I was talking to a data analyst from a startup today, and she was talking about how there's a demand for prompt engineers and how copywriters and content writers are skilled and ready to do this in a way that other experts can't because we know what questions to ask. We're approaching from a really creative mindset. And so how do we find these opportunities? We find them by showing up and possibly using that title, or at least talking about it, by starting to build a portfolio and talking about prompts in creative ways, about writing a writing about the topic and showing up visibly if this is of interest to you. And the other way is like by building confidence, because most of us are like, well, who am I to say I'm a prompt engineer? Like, I'm a copywriter. But this certification could just give you that boost in confidence where you're like, no, I actually have been spending time in this space. I've jumped in the course. I am learning. I'm using these tools actively. And I went through this rigorous certification exam. So maybe it's just the boost of confidence you need to start owning that and stepping into that expertise in a way that, you know, most of us will get in our own way and not own that expertise if we don't have that boost of confidence. So if you're like, you know, who cares about badges and certifications? I mean, I agree with you to a certain extent, but if that's what you need to boost your confidence and really lean into this and you're interested in it, then it's definitely worth it. It's worth stepping into that opportunity.
Well, and companies are actually looking for prompt engineers. You know, they know that tools like ChatGPT are out there and they know they should be using them in some way, but it's not as easy as just signing up and getting great content out of it. They need people who know what they're doing. And searches for prompt engineers on LinkedIn and in spaces like Upwork have skyrocketed. They are actually looking for people with this experience. And so if you're able to say, yep, I've got a certification in this, that gives you a leg up when you're talking to them about potential projects and even jobs.
So if you are interested, go to thecopywriterclub.com/AI4C to check out that course and the certification opportunity. The other update that I have, this is brand new. We're launching a beta version of a strategic positioning program. It's a 3-month program we're calling Serenity Now, and it's all about helping you work through a pivot in your business so that you don't have to burn everything down to the ground, which is what I often want to do, is just start over, burn it to ashes. But you don't have to do that, and you can make a pivot by focusing on your positioning, which you would do with our X factor formula to figure out how you can reposition, what you're offering, how you talk about what you're offering, the packages that you're offering, maybe even your audience. And so over the 3 months together in this program, we'll help you reposition your business during month one. In July, which is month two, we'll walk you through the process for creating a signature package based on that new positioning so that you can walk away from July with a package you could sell immediately, priced right, using our processes to develop your tool stack and a framework, name, description, promise, everything you need to sell that package in a bundle. And with our stamp of approval, because we're going to walk through it with you, we're going to critique it every step of the way so you feel really good about it by the time July is over. And then the third month, which is the final month, we'll focus on your messaging so that you know how to sell the package, because that's the hardest part. And we've built packages with hundreds of copywriters at this point, maybe in our programs. And the hardest part is how to talk about it, how to talk about it on a sales call, how to present it, how to create the right messaging in your social media, content and websites, and again, on that sales call. So we'll workshop that with you in August. So by the time you're done with the 3-month program, you can sell that package repeatedly in your business and start making new revenue from a new revenue stream, which is what we're all about, creating new revenue streams. So that's something that we're excited to test. I think we're excited to test it. Are you feeling excited to test it?
I love working with copywriters fixing their businesses. So, you know, where so many people are struggling with economics, but also wondering like, okay, does AI play a part in my position or not? And this is the way to figure that out.
Yeah. So whether you've been at it for a while, but you're like, oh, the current offer suite is not working, or the way I've been selling myself and what I do is just not resonating currently, I feel stuck, or you've hit a plateau, then this might be the pivot you need, and you don't have to do it alone. And again, Rob, because it's a beta program, Rob and I are going to be heavily involved with the participants, like really holding your hand every step of the way throughout the program. So you feel good about the final product and we feel good about it too. and you can start selling it immediately. So if you're interested in this, you can jump in and check it out at thecopywriterclub.com/serenity-now. And we'll link to it in somewhere. We're going to link to it somewhere.
YouTube comments down below. It'll be there.
It'll be linked. All right. So maybe we could just start with some, not necessarily tips, but what you and I feel like is important for anyone listening to think about or to even know about generative AI right now, just kind of like what's worth considering from your observations, from what you've experienced as a practitioner. Is there any advice you'd give to someone based off where we are right now?
Yeah. Number one thing is you need to be playing with these tools. So I know there are a ton of them out there. Many of them are paid. Some of them have free options, but as copywriters, as content writers, as marketers, creatives, like this is going to change the space. It already has changed our space in some ways, although probably not as dramatically as, like I said earlier, as people are blaming the tools for, but it is only going to get bigger. And so you need to start familiarizing yourself with what's happening. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that Google released Bard and it is freely available to anybody. You do have to go into your Google settings and turn it on, but you can use Bard today. And it has some really cool features that ChatGPT doesn't. You know, you can ask questions of Bard and then you can do Google searches that are related to those questions. And Claude from is another chat tool that's now available in Slack. And it's part of Slack. So, you know, most of us have access to Slack in some way. And so play around with that and get in there and see, you know, how do you do, you know, what you do with it. I mentioned Hugging Chat, which is, you know, a funny name or whatever, but just another alternative. And Microsoft Edge, as I mentioned, has ChatGPT built into it now. And there are literally dozens. I think I saw something on Twitter. There were 1,000 new AI tools introduced just last week. And I mean, it's so crazy how many tools are out there. And that's why I believe firmly that this is going to change things in so many ways. And the only way to stay up with it is to start playing around with some of these tools, to be familiar with it. And whether you want to use paid tools, whether you want to use some of these free tools, paid versions of the free tools, whatever. It's just critically important that you don't have to use it for work. You don't have to use it for business, but you've got to get in there and start figuring it out so that as the technology changes, you're familiar with it. And you don't get left behind.
Yeah. And I would add, and maybe you'll disagree, but to focus on one or two tools that you can use regularly. So I think being aware of what else is out there and checking it out and maybe opening up an account to test it, but not feeling like you have to use all of them regularly. Cause I feel overwhelmed every time I learn about a new tool. I'm starting a new account. I'm like checking my login. I have so many different accounts now. It's too much, but at least I know I'm regularly using ChatGPT. Like that is one I'm feeling more and more comfortable using. So at least I can speak to that one. I can get better. I can become more efficient using that tool. But I'm still looking at the other tools. Again, logging in just to check out the interface and experimenting. But don't feel like you need to use all the tools in your projects and regularly, because then you'll just shut it down. I mean, if you're like me, you'll just stop. You'll just surrender to all the tools.
Well, it's not possible to use all of the tools. So you're right. Choose a favorite, get really good at that favorite, but keep your eye on what's going on. When you see a new tool launch, check out the features page. You know, is it doing something differently? Is it adding a capability that the tool that you're using doesn't have? Does it do, you know, like look at that stuff, compare, try them out. You may play around with two or three tools before you find one that fits, or maybe 10 or 12 tools before you find one that fits. But if you simply say, hey, I'm going to wait for all of this stuff to shake out, it may not be too late to learn them, but you're definitely going to be behind when it comes to what people are doing with the tools when you finally get around to it.
Yeah, and a couple other ways you can, I mean, these are maybe more general to this kind of weird recession time that, Rob, you were mentioning earlier, not necessarily just AI, but just the frustration many writers are feeling right now. I would say, like, be very adaptable and open. We talked about adaptability with Brandon Burton on the podcast and not being so rigid. I mean, the two of us talk about niching down and focus so frequently, but this is a time where focus is important in your day-to-day tasks and priorities, but it's not as important with the markets you're working in and being adaptable. If the market you focused on is just not working right now, especially if it's in the tech space, maybe you need to open up your offers and start pitching clients in a totally different space that are currently hiring. And so I've seen frustration from a lot of copywriters and content writers who kind of like keep banging on the door of a market that's just tapped right now and is not hiring or just can't afford big premium projects. And so there's no reason we can't be more flexible right now and try new markets. And maybe at some point we can slow down on that and go back all in on one industry, one niche. But for now, we just need to be more fluid in that space.
Yep, I agree 100%.
Another suggestion, just as I'm thinking about all these tools we're talking about, and it seems like it could be helpful to start talking more about our tool stack as creatives, because I feel like often we don't talk about the tools we're using. We just kind of do our thing and it's like the magic in the background. But this might be the time to shift that, because it's such a big part of the conversation. And so many of our clients are aware of generative AI, and they all have their own hesitations and concerns and maybe even excitement. And so we don't always know where they fall, but what we can control how we talk about our tool stack, and the way we talk about it can really help set us apart from other creatives who just don't talk about it at all. And so I see the opportunity for education, whether it's like in our own marketing or even on a sales call where we run through our process, but we highlight some of the tools we use and the benefit. And that way we can hit on the tools quickly, but it shows that AI tools are part of the process, but not the whole process. And it's part of what we do, but it's not everything. And it makes us less replaceable. And also, again, helps kind of probably calm the nerves of some potential clients who are just feeling really uneasy about the changes in the space too, and not quite sure what to ask you and not quite sure what to be concerned about. So putting it front and center and really owning and feeling confident in the tools you're using, maybe in a different way than you've done in the past, or in the way that I've done in the past, where it's just like, it's in the background and I don't talk about it.
This is actually something we talk a little bit about in our Copywriter Accelerator program, because not all tools lend themselves to talking about, like, you know, everybody uses Word or Google Docs. And so you probably don't talk about that particular tool as a writer, but there may be tools to differentiate what you bring to the table. You know, if you use a wireframing program, and again, I'm not talking about anything AI at this point, it's wireframing may set you apart from 90% of the other copywriters who don't do wireframing, right? AI is the same. It's a tool. And so if there's something, an AI tool that you love that helps you do things faster or better or ideate in some way that other tools don't, then yeah, absolutely. Talk about them, because it makes you different and it makes you stand out in a way that's significant. And, you know, this is just good positioning, good branding, good marketing, is you want to be different from everybody else in some way that benefits your clients.
Yeah. And along with that, it's like developing a framework, which we also talk about in Serenity Now, the new positioning program. We're going to help you create a framework to set you apart from everyone else who's might be doing the same thing. And so having that framework was important before. We've talked about it many times with many copywriters, but now it's even more important to really own how you do what you do and your unique mechanism and what you bring to the table to get clients excited about what you do.
Yeah, if AI can be part of that mechanism, yeah, then absolutely we should be broadcasting that everywhere.
And the last concept I'd mention is the compound effect that you talk a lot about, Rob, and just, again, a frustration I've seen firsthand with some of the copywriters we're working with is just like, things aren't working the way they did before, and I'm trying everything and I'm showing up in all the right places, but I'm just not, it's not landing the results I need. And oftentimes when I look at what they've been doing, it's just not enough, right? It's just like trying posting on LinkedIn randomly, or it's like pitching yourself to two podcasts and then saying it didn't work. Or pitching, when we talk about pitching clients, it's like you pitched a couple, you did zero follow-up, and then you say, pitching doesn't work for me. And so, I mean, this is a reminder for myself more than anyone, but just the power of repetition and habit, and how like it really is about progress over time, and rather than just one or two tries. And the copywriters and creatives we see who are making it even during this like strange time are the ones who just are disciplined about doing the thing over and over and over again, not forever, but at least over 3 to 6 months, where you can evaluate, okay, did this work? How can I change it? Because if you don't have a large enough sample size, you can't make smart decisions about where to focus your time and energy.
Yeah. I mean, you said it really well, you know, effort compounds over time. And when you start to find things that work, lean in, do even more, because, you know, even 1% better a day is thousands of time, you know, over the course of years, you become so much better. And it works not just for personal development, but it works for, you know, saving money. It works for building skills. It works for getting better at everything we do.
Yeah. And the reason I mention it in this podcast when we're talking about AI is because things might feel harder right now. And so that matters even more than maybe it did in the past, where you could get away with referrals or you can get away with like sporadic marketing. And now maybe we can't get away with that any longer. We really have to be disciplined about showing up consistently and doing the work consistently.
Yeah. So I think, Kara, we've got a bunch of questions from people that we want to answer.
Yes.
Let's check those out.
Yes. The ones we can answer, we are going to answer. So many great questions. So Rob, why don't we kick off with the first one? Can my AI-generated outputs be used without fear of copyright infringement?
So the answer to this one right now is pretty straightforward, and that's no, you can't. The U.S. Trademark and Copyright Office has been very clear that any content, not just copy or words, but any content generated by an AI is not copyrightable because it wasn't actually created by a person, a human. And so for now, that's something that a lot of clients are going to be worried about. In fact, I've seen two large clients forbid their copywriters from using any kind of large language model to generate content for those businesses because it can't be owned. So yeah, the short answer is no. And there are definitely some risks in presenting AI generated content to your clients without letting them know that that is the case.
Okay. And I'm just going to ask you all these questions because I'm curious too. What kind of wording needs to be included in our contracts now that we may use AI tools? I haven't changed the wording in my contracts, but that's a great question.
Yeah, I don't have the exact wording that you should put in there. That's probably better coming from an attorney, or maybe just ask the AI to generate it for you. But if you use AI to create anything that you're presenting to the client, so you might not need to disclose it if you're creating, you know, if you're using it just to generate ideas that you're going to write about, but if you're creating outlines, if you're having it create leads for you, that you're using a substantial part of that, I would disclose that to your client. Just say something in your contract to the effect of you use AI tools in the process of creating the work that you do, and just letting them be aware of that. Disclose it. Now, do you always need to disclose it? I guess that's really up to you. If you're not presenting content that's created by the AI, maybe you don't feel like you need to disclose it, but you may still have to have a conversation with your clients about this. You know, a lot of clients are taking copy that they're getting and running it through an AI detector and saying that, you know, it's 84%, you know, AI generated or whatever. And those detectors don't actually work the way they're promised, but not all clients understand that. And so content that you wrote that's really good may flag as being AI generated simply because it's better than the content that's out there. So these conversations, you may have to have them whether they're in your contract or not.
All right, Rob, because you have, you've explored so many tools, hundreds of tools. You mentioned there's so many out there. We have a lot of email copywriters, and one copywriter asked, what is your preferred AI platform for writing emails? I'm toying between Copy AI and Writer. So I don't know if you've experimented with those tools, but what do you think?
So I haven't written emails with either one of those, and I think they're both really good options. I've seen copy from both. I like a lot of things about Writer in particular. There's, I mean, just so much good stuff that they've created. But honestly, I'm not quite ready to let AI write the whole email. My preference is to use it to, create subject lines or to create ideas or to, change things up, help me, make things sound different than maybe, when I get stuck or whatever. So as far as like writing the entire thing with a tool, I'm not yet doing that myself. So I'm not sure that I can recommend a particular platform for it, but I think both Copy AI and Writer are great platforms and do a really good job.
Yeah, and we want to interview people from those companies to learn more and explore those tools. I really like the way Writer markets and the interface, and I think that's one that definitely speaks to creative-minded people. It does seem like more of an enterprise tool. So when I have looked at it, I'm like, oh, is this really for a small business owner like me? But I do like that you can capture your brand voice and add that to the tool so that you don't have to start over. So that's appealing. I've used ChatGPT to write an email, actually one that I sent out to our TCC community recently. And so what I did though is I wrote the email. It was okay. And then I pulled a theme that stood out to me around the show Lost, the show from 2007, but a favorite, the pop culture favorite that I know most people at least are aware of. And so once I was like, okay, I got the show, but I don't remember, it's been a while, I don't remember all the references and all the specific details from that show. So I got ChatGPT to rewrite my email, pulling in as many references from that show as possible. And it did a great job. I was actually really impressed. I didn't swipe that email though, because a lot of the details in the language was just not working well, but the specific examples from that show were perfect. So I just would pull in bits and pieces where they fit into my email that was written by me that I felt actually really good about and captured my voice. So I think there is a nice blend of the two that you can do at this point. But like you, I haven't gotten to the point where I feel like it could create an output that I would just copy and paste and send for a client, for our own emails. But it's going in the right direction, where it was a huge creative aid when I was not feeling creative and I just couldn't. It would take a lot of time to research all the details from Lost to pull in those mentions.
Yeah, there are tools out there that are, you can train them on your voice and have it create copy. And like I said, there's over 1,000 new tools released within a week. There is more than one that does that. So as you're exploring tools that are out there and you're playing around with it, you can feed it your voice. You can feed it previous emails. And then again, like push it, ask it to create things. And you get to the point where it can be a little spooky sometimes how good they are at imitating our voice. So try them out.
Yeah. And the important thing is to double check it too, right? So it's like I had all these Lost details and examples that really resonated with me. I was like, that seems right. But I did double check all of them because I didn't want to send out something that was incorrect and would make me look foolish. So you have to check all those details.
Yeah. Hallucinations are a thing.
Let's talk about how effective is AI at pulling out and organizing information in transcripts.
So I've definitely had mixed results with this, even using ChatGPT, where I've fed it transcripts and had it come back with things. I would say it's so-so. Sometimes it's pretty darn good. And other times I'm like, wow, I missed the thing that I would have thought was most important. And, the reason is it's because it's not able to identify importance in things, right? It's a predictive engine. And so it's predicting what it thinks might be the thing it should provide. It's not necessarily saying, oh, that's a truly unique idea, or that's not been said in that way before in other places. And so I think it's okay. There are AI tools that, we've started to experiment with. One is Swell AI, which, you can feed it content and then it creates things like transcripts and other different content pieces that you can share out. That's a little bit of a different thing than just feeding it a transcript and asking it to do things. But you might, you can check out something like Swell. Descript is another one, I think, where you can feed it video content or audio content, and it does the same kind of thing. There are so many tools out there again, so maybe I haven't seen the one that does it the best, but in my experience so far, it's been so. I'm not saying it can't do it though.
Yeah, it's been really tricky to feed a transcript, you know, from our podcast into ChatGPT and then get an introduction. I mean, every week when I sit down to write the introduction for this show, I just want it to be easy, and it never is easy because I can't input all that information, and so it just falls apart very quickly. But if I can feed in multiple sections of an interview and give it enough information to get some talking points, it may help me write half of an introduction where I still am writing a good portion of it, but it may just fill in some gaps for me or give me some new ideas. But yeah, it's not quite there yet. It still feels really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to say there isn't a tool out there that's doing it. We just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Let us know which tool is doing that well. All right. Let's take one more question. Rob, if there's a specific question you want to answer that we have not talked about yet.
I'm just scanning through, so I would just choose one at random. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a really good one. And this came up earlier in the Copywriter Underground. How do I gauge my clients' feelings, or maybe prospects' feelings, before they hire me about AI, before using it as a selling point? I don't want to say, hey, I use this awesome tool, to find out they don't like it, they don't want to use it, maybe they've even had a negative experience with it from another writer.
Yeah, I mean, this is the trick, right? Because gauging your prospects' feelings about anything requires research into your prospects. And so a copywriter working in a particular niche is going to have an advantage over somebody who's maybe jumping around, because they're going to know, oh yeah, my clients tend to be open to this thing, or maybe my clients in another niche are not. And so I think that you just need to be prepared to talk about it. Regardless, you know, even if your clients are okay with it, there may be some other thing that comes up. And so we just need to sort of practice having that conversation, think through, you know, how is it that you're using these tools? How does it impact the business? Are you presenting AI created content, or are you just using it for ideas? Are you using it to identify research topics, those kinds of things? Be prepared to talk about it. And then try to know who it is that you're pitching. You know, in the tech world, they're probably going to be more open to it versus, you know, maybe a niche like legal, where there could be some serious ramifications for, you know, providing something that may not be 100% correct, that kind of thing. So just be aware, ask your clients if you don't know, you know, how they feel about it before you go out and pitch it as the, you know, end all be all.
There could be a really good question you add to an intake form. I'm just thinking I'd like to add one to mine, where it's like, you know, I typically ask, have you worked with a copywriter before? If so, how was that experience? Or could you describe that experience? And that's very telling. I can get a red flag if they've worked with 100 copywriters and it never works out and they're blaming the copywriter. That's a pass. But there could be a question about, you know, have you used any AI tools to create copy or content, or has anyone on your team done that? And you can probably tell from their response to that question, just in the intake form, how they feel about it. And that can change the way you position and talk about your services, or maybe just help you filter through and not work with someone who's just has an opposite viewpoint and it's just clearly not going to work out. So I think that could be a good process change that helps alleviate any uncomfortable, awkward conversations about it where you're like, oops, I did not handle that well. All right, that's the end of this episode of AI for Creative Entrepreneurs, which is a Copywriter Club podcast produced by the wonderful Brandon Burton. And once again, if you want to jump into that AI for Copywriters course we mentioned earlier and even work towards your certification as a prompt engineer, which is very exciting, you could go to thecopywriterclub.com/AI4C to learn more information about that course. And if you have any interest over the next few months, this summer, in working on a pivot in your business so you have a signature package that is priced well and you're ready to sell it, we want to do it with you. We want to get in there with you and provide feedback and steps along the way so you're not doing it alone. And so you feel really confident selling this package this summer and into the fall. You can learn more about that coaching program at thecopywriterclub.com serenity-now.
And if you have enjoyed what you've heard today, or you have things you want to tell us about what we've talked about today, please leave a review of the show wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. And if you're catching this on YouTube, then be sure to subscribe to the channel and then leave a comment below to let us know either your favorite takeaway, your favorite AI tool, or how you're using AI in your business. We'll see you next week.